And joining us on Perspectives today is Karen Slaughter. Karen is the number one internationally best-selling author of more than a dozen novels, including Will Trent and Grant County series and the instant New York Times bestseller Cop Town. And the newest novel is, gosh, I don't want to say a killer novel because that's no pun intended, but Pretty Girls. And you have some great accolades here, reviews, and Lee Child highly endorsed it, saying this is going to be the book of the year. And Lee Child is no snuff guy or whatever you want to call him. Congratulations, Karen.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was really pleased. That was a really nice quote.
And thank you for joining us. So let's talk a little bit about your background. Have you always been interested in writing, even as a child?
Absolutely. Yeah, even when I was 6 years old, it was my dream to be a published author. And, you know, people, my sisters, my dad will tell you, growing up, I was always telling stories. So it was just a delight to find out as an adult I could actually do for a living what I wanted to do with my life.
Now, what kind of stories did you share with your siblings? Hopefully, your sisters were not like the pretty girls.
Okay. Well, but you know, I was the youngest of three girls, okay. And most of my early stories were revenge fantasies against them, or something horrible would happen to me and they would get in trouble, and, you know, the usual stuff that kids dream about when they're growing up.
And when you were in school, did you take journalism classes or creative writing classes? Did they offer that in high school before you got to college?
They did, and I really enjoy those. You know, I'm a product of the public education system, and I had some fantastic teachers, no more so than my ninth grade English teacher, who had such a huge impact on me. Because she said, you know, you're a very good writer, but you could be better. And that challenged me, and I wanted to please her, and it really set me on the right course to looking at writing as not just something I could do well, but as a craft.
And, you know, it's sometimes we look back and we think of, at the time especially, perhaps we're going, my gosh, this teacher is so demanding, or they're so awful, or coaches, whatever. And then we look back and go, wow, you know, I am glad that they pushed me because look what I've done.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because teachers get a bad rap these days.
But yes.
Adults, remind yourself that you don't remember the teachers who wanted to be your best friends. You remember the teachers who scared you a little bit and challenged you.
That's correct. And one of the things that people are sometimes concerned about, especially in public school, because there's so many situations, as you mentioned, that the teachers get the bum rap, but they have so much to worry about now, especially with the violence going on in schools, the fact that they have to get you ready for a test instead of being able to teach you, and they have so many things against them.
You know, it's true, and it's never been very straightforward where all you do is teach and work 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, and get your summers off. I mean, it's exhausting work. Teachers are some of the hardest workers in the world. They're not doing it for the money, obviously. They're doing it for what they love, which is imparting knowledge. And I think in a lot of ways, communities and sometimes parents get in the way of a teacher who can do a really good job. And I totally agree with you about teaching to the test. It's ridiculous.
We are visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Karen is the author of the internationally acclaimed already Pretty Girls novel, and she is also, as I mentioned, the author of several series, the William Trent and the Grant County series. For people who may not be familiar with these other series, and I'm sure they're going to go on to go and read some of this other material that you have once they finish this one, tell us a little bit about the series and how those work.
Well, Will Trent is an agent with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and I've been really fortunate that the actual agents with the GBI have been really open with me and talked to me about what it's like to be an agent and how they deal with cases. I really strive for some sense of authenticity in my work. But through Will, I can tell the story of an investigator and just how difficult sometimes it is to solve a crime, and hopefully have some twists and turns and some shocks along the way for the reader.
Now, Karen, tell me a little bit about what kind of pressure, if any, do you have when you're writing a series and you have the characters, because there'll be a lot of readers who are wanting or expecting something to happen, and then those characters come alive to you, and they, in a way, sometimes some author says, they direct me as to where to go.
For me as well. And as much as I love my readers, when I sit down to write a novel or a short story, I can't really think about them because I have to tell my story and I have to be honest and true to the characters and my vision for them. course, I hope everybody is pleased, but I know you can't please everyone. But I try to just tell a really good story, because that's why I love reading. I'm sure that's what you love about reading, is you're immersed in a world. You see things differently through the character's eyes. You feel maybe a kinship with the character, an understanding of what they're going through. All of that, for me, is what makes so much fun out of not just reading, but reading thrillers.
And sometimes in thrillers, authors like David Baldacci and Michael Connelly and Steve Barry have told me that, you know, sometimes it's difficult because you have to realize that your characters are aging as well. And then sometimes they don't age them. And then all of a sudden they have to realize, wait a minute, I have to probably change this because things have gone up.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I have let my characters age a little bit, but they're doing it in a really slow time frame. I think it's important for them to change. I know when I first started writing, I was in my late 20s, writing for publication, and my worldview has changed completely since then. You know, when you're 27, 28, you think you can take on the world, and you're going to be the one who doesn't have all the bad stuff happen to you, like suddenly you're 40 and your knee doesn't work anymore. So it's a hard lesson to learn that you're going to age, but I think you can also pick up some helpful advice to pass on to others along the way, and I want my characters to be able to do that. They need to change. They need to be dynamic. You know, I love Lee Child. I think Jack Reacher's fantastic. I love that he never changes, but I made a choice when I started writing that my characters were going to get older and they were going to change like everyone else does.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Karen is the author of the recent bestselling novel, Pretty Girls. As I mentioned at the beginning, this is pretty much a standalone book because I don't think that you have to look back and read some of the other books that you have written. But this starts off talking a little bit about the fact that what happened to this family and what tore them apart when their child disappeared. And then all of a sudden, the reader is just taken on some incredible journeys with these sisters and then going back and forth. And the fact that this has really affected their lives, whether because of this disappearance or not, but these ladies have really seen some great adventures.
Well, you know, crime always affects people in different ways. But one thing it does is it changes them. And I think what it takes away is that sense of security that nothing bad is going to happen to you. So for Claire and Lydia and Pretty Girls, they've lost their sister. They lost her when they were at a very young age, and it had a lasting effect. It changed how they looked at the world. It changed how they looked at themselves. They became aware of this vulnerability that not just everyone has, but specifically young women have. And they reacted in different ways. For Claire, she retreated further into herself. She sort of put up a wall against the world. And for Lydia, she turned to drugs and alcohol.
And one of the things that hit hard here, I think, because a lot of families and women probably have been through this, the fact that women can be very competitive, just like men can. But when you're describing the scene in the gym and this other lady comes in and yells out Lita Delgado and talking about the cheerleaders and the fact that, you know, the some of these people don't even have to worry about funding the education for their children where this lady is struggling.
Well, you know, it makes you look at the world differently if you don't have financial worries. And it gives you the luxury of choice. And for Lydia, she doesn't have that luxury. And she's the first to admit it's her own doing. She had a very nice life. She came from a solidly middle-class family. And then she screwed everything up. But I think that the fact that she realized that her bad choices had consequences and that they were her choices and did something to change that, and she had a child, she got pregnant, she decided, I'm not going to be one of those women who thinks that doing drugs is more important than raising my child. And it really was sobering for her in many ways because she lost her sister. And she didn't want to lose her child.
And she also, because she didn't want to lose her child, she went to do some incredible, awful trials because she didn't want them to take away her child because of drug use. And so she basically went cold turkey on her own and doing a lot of these other things that she was doing on her own. And at the same time, you have to say, as you imagine, I lost my sister. I don't want to lose my little girl.
Exactly. And, you know, we make it really hard for women who are pregnant and who are addicted to drugs to seek help because the thing is, a lot of people want to punish them. And while I think that obviously you should trust but verify, to quote Reagan, I also think that they should be given an opportunity to change their lives. I mean, that's what America is all about. We're all about second acts. And I think across the board, we could do better for ourselves if we remember that and give people second chances. Now, fourth or fifth chances, I'll agree with most people, that's a little too much, but at least a second chance.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Karen is the author of the recent novel, Pretty Girls, and it's a very, my gosh, roller coaster thriller, novel, mystery, a little bit of everything. And you take us on these roller coaster turns, and nothing especially describes when you're talking about Claire and she is with Paul, and then, you know, they leave that bar and what happens in that alley, and it's just incredible.
Well, the thing about crime is it can be very shocking. We all think it's not going to happen to us, but of course, invariably, it does happen to an unfortunate few of us. And Claire has lived this charmed life in some ways. She's created for herself this walled-off garden where nothing surprising happens and she's in control. And then suddenly this bad thing happens in this alley in the first chapter and her world is upside down.
And what about, people are wondering, well, what happened that she was in jail and that she was on parole now? Because they, I think, you know, it continues on for a while, and you have to make sure that you're paying attention and reading carefully, because things happen so fast that people are wondering, well, wait a minute, what did she do that, you know, of course, nothing, as you mentioned, that she deserved to have her husband Paul killed, but the fact that this all of a sudden is that she's being followed by police, being tracked for drug testing, and then I guess, is Ginny's her mother?
Helen is her mother.
Okay, but Grandma Ginny, I think, is,
yes,
plays a,
yes,
major role too in there.
She does, and you know, she doesn't, Grandma Ginny doesn't spend much time on the page, but in the tradition of great Southern grandmothers, she's extremely critical and dissatisfied with most things her granddaughters and her daughter do. And Claire has a constant refrain in her head of this disapproving Grandma Ginny saying things, you know, like, you shouldn't be doing that, or you should sit up straight and you should always have good posture and things like that, that women are often told by their mothers and grandmothers.
Well, one of the lines, I think, I'm not sure if Ginny said this, but it says something like, well, I know you're not doing drugs because you're getting fat.
Yes.
It's like, wow. Okay.
Well, you know, she calls it like it is. She says, Ginny says this to Lydia. And the point of that reference is that Claire does not come to Lydia's defense because she has turned against her sister. And when we meet them in the earlier chapters, they're actually estranged.
We are visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. She is the author of the book Pretty Girls, novel Pretty Girls. And we've, you know, I've painted perhaps the fact that this is awful, it's not going to get any better. But as you mentioned, they're estranged at the beginning, but then other things develop towards the later on in the book, the computer, the things that they find on the computer. And as you mentioned, you know, nothing is too shocking. All of a sudden, it's there.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's the great thing I like about reading crime fiction is you can't make assumptions.
And you don't. Now, tell us, what is the, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess, for lack of a better word, some of the people who have reviewed and some of the critics who have looked at your work, they say that it's, gosh, what's the word that they use? It's very uncompromising, and that you take us into very dark places and you reveal evil like no one ever thought evil could be.
Well, I think that's a lot to live up to. I don't know if I necessarily okay. do that, but I do take an unflinching look at crime, but no more so than Stieg Larsson did, or Lisa Gardner, or Mike Connelly, or Jeff Deaver. You know, the point of crime fiction, I think, a certain type of crime fiction, there are some lighter moments, but the point is to make people see crime for what it is. And it's an excellent tool to write about if you're a writer, because crime makes you really boil down to the essence of who a character is, why they make the choices they make. And as you see in Pretty Girls, Lydia and Claire, but Claire especially, they respond to what's going on to them in kind of shocking ways, and it changes not who they are at their core, but it brings out that core into the daylight.
And how do you go about developing characters like this? Because there are some incredible things that happen to these ladies, and a lot of things that are uncovered come to light, the crime, as you mentioned, the evil that's there. How do you go about, researching for this? Do you get some of this from the Georgia public defenders or Georgia investigators, as you mentioned earlier?
I do. And, I've talked to some people in the FBI. I think it's okay to say we're dealing with some stuff that goes on the internet. So I had to talk to a lot of specialists and people who actually are in charge of trying to police these shadow parts of the internet and just really figure out how to talk about what's going on. But, I also, in my Will Trent series, I have these relationships with police officers, and I tend to write about cops as good guys. We see a lot of stories about them as bad guys, and it's really unfortunate because most of them are just good everyday people. It's sort of like teachers. You only ever see them in the news when one of them's done something bad, especially with Will Trent. I try to say, hey, the police are there to help us. But of course, in Pretty Girls, I took a different track. I wanted you to have the sense as a reader that you have absolutely no idea to trust.
And you don't. And I guess Claire especially is worried about the fact that what else are they going to find? What else are they going to look for? Or am I going to be framed for something that I didn't do? And again, you give the reader the opportunity to be on the alert. He can't relax. He or she can't relax. And they have to be ready for whatever pops up next. And it's what you talked about earlier about internet and social media. That is something that perhaps is coming to light now as well, that you have to be careful, not just as a young lady or as a woman, but everybody when you're dealing with social media.
Oh, absolutely. And if you're a young man and you're in college and you take pictures of yourself at a party having fun, don't put it on the internet because future employers are going to look at that. And the same for young women. It's really hard to think about the entire world seeing this stuff. But it's true. Once it's online, it belongs to everybody. And it's certainly looking into this stuff and seeing not just the bad parts, but the innocuous parts of the web and how people can exploit your image and exploit what you say. And you have absolutely no idea. It's really terrifying. And I think eventually we're going to have a reckoning where enough people say, hey, we're just going to be more careful than we've been because this could lead to extremely detrimental things, not just happening to me, but to my family.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Karen is the author of the psychological thriller Pretty Girls. And this is a novel that just came out recently, but it's already getting some high accolades. It's getting a lot of good reviews. As I mentioned at the beginning, Lee Child, but also Gillian Flynn, as you're familiar with her. Slaughter's eye for detail and truth is unmatched. I'd follow her anywhere. Michael Connelly says her character, plot, and pacing are unrivaled. And Tess Gerritsen, Dr. Tess, is a fearless writer, one of the boldest thriller writers working today. And again, those accolades are from some of these people who are at the top of their game.
Really flattering to have so many people so excited about my work.
And it's interesting because we were just talking about Tess Gerritsen yesterday because we're going to do an interview with her shortly. And she was sharing where one of her son's friends from college had read one of her books and he had mentioned to her son, "Dude, your mom is sick."
Well, I'm sure she took that as praise.
Yes. So what response are you getting? Okay, we've talked about the critics and the reviewers. What about some of your friends, some of your family members?
Well, they're pretty conversant with my canon, so there's not any shock there. But I think overwhelmingly, they've just been really pleased because they think it's a really good story. And as a reader, I love novels that keep you on your toes. You're always guessing. It's a puzzle that you can't really figure out. And all the twists and turns, that's my kind of book. And they always tell you to write what you know, but I think you should also write what you read. And those are the sorts of books I absolutely love.
So give us an example of perhaps some of the thrillers that you read when you were in college after you published your first novel.
Well, gosh, I've just been reading everybody. I think when I was a younger woman in my later teens, I loved Sue Grafton. I love Sarah Paretsky. I read Flannery O'Connor. I absolutely adored her storytelling. I studied her in college. And, I was reading all the time, Don Westlake, later Lee Child, Tess Gerritsen, Michael Connelly, the usual suspects. But I honestly, they call the 1930s the golden age of crime writing. I think it's now. I think we're just spoiled for choice. There are so many wonderful writers who are really social historians. So in 100 years, when people want to say, hey, what was it like in America in 2015, they can pick up our novels and they'll know exactly what was going on.
And I was sharing this with one of my colleagues here at the university also, that I think that women authors are probably the best at writing the thrillers and psychological thrillers. They take you on these different rides, various roller coasters, because sometimes the men, and nothing against them, but sometimes they have like a cookie cutter, almost like you know what they're going to write about. It's still a good story, but I think the lady writers are just far ahead of their game.
Oh, as a lady writer, I thank you.
Okay.
I think guys are doing a wonderful job. One thing that I think has been a positive influence of more women being published successfully in this field is you have men writing women characters that are believable. They're not just there as accessories. I talked about the 1930s being the golden era. Not for women. If you were a bad woman, you had to be punished. If you led the guy astray, you had to be killed. You were the femme fatale, or you were the person who needed to be saved. It's much more nuanced now. And I feel like I'm picking on Lee Child, but the women in his books, no matter who reach or meet, she can be an older woman, a younger woman, he never writes them as weak. He always writes them as interesting, independent women. And I think that's why so many women respond to Jack Reacher, because he has this obvious respect for women. And it seems like such a simple formula, right? You know, respect women, and women who buy the majority of fiction will actually like your books. But it took a while for that to kind of catch on and come into the mainstream. And as a woman who loves reading these books, I'm glad to see that. But I would say I think women are especially good at psychological stuff, because we don't have the ability to go in and punch people and clear the house. Certainly there are some women who are very strong, but for the most part, women are always going to go for the psychological when faced with a bad situation, because we just don't have that physical brute strength to push our way through.
I think one of those authors is Lisa Scottolini. Her last couple of books have taken kind of that direction as far as psychological thrillers and mystery, corruption, all that stuff. But James Patterson, I think, really created a niche when he created the Women's Murder Club, because a lot of people started reading those books. And, you know, nothing better than having the head homicide detective, the head coroner, the head reporter, and the district attorney, and they're all women.
And I think Jim just saw that as a reflection of society, because he talks to a lot of police officers. I know that he has co-writers for his books, but he's very involved in the plotting process, and he's quite a visionary about anticipating what people are looking for. And I think you're absolutely right with the Women's Murder Club, but it was a reflection of what he was seeing in society. A lot of these jobs are now held by women.
You're absolutely right. And we are visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Karen is the author of the New York Times bestselling book, award-winning book, psychological thriller, Pretty Girls. And Karen, we probably have a couple of minutes left here. And so I want to ask you, as far as for the benefit of our readers, if they want to go and read some of your additional materials, read perhaps more about your characters and your background, do you have a webpage?
I do. It's KarenSlaughter.com. That's Karen with an I. And I'm also on Facebook and Twitter if you like looking at cat pictures.
Okay. And what about Audible books, audiobooks, and also e-books?
Oh, yeah.
Or Kindle?
Audiobooks, e-books, hardbacks, mass market. You can find about all of that on my website. There'll be links to purchase. You can also download first chapters and read first chapters. And Facebook, of course, you can talk to my fellow readers and see if they can give you any recommendations.
And then you have also some help tools for people who have book clubs. And if you want to have like starters, conversation starters, anything like that, I've seen those as well.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's really great, because book clubs are so important lately. I say lately, they've always been important, but it seems like more people are in book clubs. And I think it's the internet. It's great to have the internet and to be able to talk about books and other interests online. But when it boils down to it, human beings like to be face to face, and book clubs are a wonderful way to do that.
Karen, thank you so much for visiting with us. We really enjoyed having you, and we thank you for the opportunity to have us converse with you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. We have been visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Karen is the author of the recent psychological thriller, Pretty Girls. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Lauren Terrazas. Casas. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.